extravagant act.
I feel we just have to sometimes let our mind be expanded and our heart with the extravagance of what God has done through Jesus Christ to us. Many of the heresies in the early church were because of a lot of religious people. They had lots of gods, they had all sorts of mythologies. You can imagine those different cultures. And the problem that the church fathers had was that people were minimizing the oneness and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ as God. They thought, oh, well, he must be an intermediary, you know, he's kind of an angel. They just couldn't get it. So they came together and they did put together the creed and got the idea, God's idea, across to us of the greatness of their extravagance. The Father, Son and Holy Spirit, all God, and Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so that became the foundation of church. And these days, there isn't that kind of religious fervour around in our culture. After about the 13 and 1400s and on into the Reformation, into that era, there was the so-called Enlightenment, and people began to fall in love with the fact that humanity could do anything it liked without God, without any help from anywhere else. And so rather than there be some kind of a confusion because Jesus was in the middle somewhere, it was just a matter of leave it all out. And that's the kind of thing that we're facing today in the world. It's not a whole lot of competing theological issues. People are not terribly into that. They're about just being able to see man as being able to save himself and what new and better ways we can work to do that. So I want us to get back to the absolute extravagance of what God has done for humanity so that we can know it and be carriers of that word, that message. Jesus was the one and only new creation. God and man sharing the one being on earth when he came. There was only one new creation, it was Jesus. God and man sharing the one being. Jesus came to give God to humanity as God and man. And he took humanity on his life journey to give us to God as God and man. That is Jesus doing that, giving us to God. God gave him to us, and he gives us to God. Jesus came as God to do everything for mankind, to be born as us and for us, to live and die as us and for us. Everything he did, he made us part of it. He is in heaven now as us and for us. And he now prays continually for us. The way the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is God was in Christ reconciling the world, humanity, to himself. That word reconciled, we don't really have that. We have a word reconciled, I just said it in English, but the word in the original language, katalasso, is, we don't have an equivalent word in English. The word reconciled doesn't just mean to make people friends again. It means to take two people and have something, a mutual exchange between them to act upon them to bring forth something totally new, a complete change into something new. The only kind of equivalent word we have in the English is the word catalyst, which sounds like that, but catalyst is when you get two compounds, put them together, and you add a catalyst, something extraordinary. You add something that is able to cause them to mutually, those two elements, act upon one another to bring forth a totally new thing, a new compound. That's catalyst. Two things in some kind of an action, mutual exchange of action, that brings forth something totally new. That was God in Christ, God in humanity, bringing about a new creation. That's what reconciled means. God was in Christ changing humanity into himself. The extraordinary thing that the word says to us then, after that is declared, it says, and he's committed that word to us. As ambassadors, God is still in the work of reconciling the world to himself so that they will know that he has created a new creation in the earth. Let's get into it. Where did it... Well, we'll look at a significant milestone along the way when Jesus was baptized. We were also on that life journey with Jesus when he was baptized. For us and as us, in water and in the Spirit. Okay, we were there. Matthew 3:14, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. So here's Jesus getting baptized. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, I've got to bring everything into alignment with God, with the Father. I'm doing this on behalf of mankind to fulfill, to actually make the work of my work here on earth, God in me bringing the world to himself. I'm now going to do this act of baptism not just as a symbol, but to fulfill this. And humanity's coming with me. So you have to let me be baptized because it's what God requires to be carried out for us. Then John allowed it. So Jesus had to align humanity with God and become the yes of man to God. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a big yes. Okay. Got it. I'll be in this. I'll go down into his death and up into his resurrection. Got it. Yes. The one baptism of water and the Spirit, which is what Jesus had there, a commitment from him to live the kingdom of God in the earth. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming upon him. Suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. His baptism with the Spirit, he was baptized in water, and then he gets baptized in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. And it was from that time on that he was empowered to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit into his ministry. I mean, Jesus, when we look at these things, you can almost say, Well, Jesus didn't really have to do that. He was already full of the Spirit. And in effect, if you carry that line on, you can say, Jesus didn't really have to die. He never sinned. So there was no penalty that he had to pay. There was no sin, so he didn't have to do it. Why did he do it? He did it for humanity. Because he included us in what he did. That's how we get reconciled to God. By the momentous life and death of Jesus Christ. The baptism with his baptism with the Spirit was for the empowering of his life as a living witness on earth that he was one with God in heaven. He then took us on his journey into the wilderness and became our victory over the devil. Jesus went to the cross and took humanity on that journey with him into death. We can say, but we didn't die. Oh, yes, we did. Humanity died on that cross. 2 Corinthians 5:14. If one died for all, then all are dead. That's big. That means people next door, everybody. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says to us, it's a strange kind of a commendation to us. It says, you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that would be a difficult thing to say to your neighbour. You're dead. And you'd say, no, I'm not. I'm very much alive. And you'd say, where'd you hear that? I heard it in church. And he could very well say, well, the church is dead. I'm sorry. Not me. I'm alive. You see, the human mind can't grasp it. But the reality is we are dead because we shared the death with Jesus. Now, where's our life? It's hidden with Christ in God, in us. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. But who knows that? Well, we need a gospel. And we need a gospel that tells you the full story. So it's difficult to say that to people in the community. It's difficult to say that to people in church. You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know it. I know you. You believe it. You live that. But there's so much today in the church that allows people, or even sometimes encourages them, and it's not, I can't point the finger at anybody, it's just human nature, to make it all your own work. Rather than learning how to be dead with Christ, dead in Christ and alive to God, there is a sense of, I've got to make more effort, I've got to try and be more this, more that. Let's start from where Jesus started. Where did he take us? Into death. That's where we start. And that's when we are risen, that's when we discover who we really are in Christ. So then he rose from the dead and took humanity on that journey too. It says that in the Bible. He went to the throne room and presented himself on our behalf to the Father. From there, his purpose was to give all of mankind the Holy Spirit and complete humanity's journey with Jesus, which would be bringing humanity as the new creation into being on the earth. This corporate new creation came into being at Pentecost. There was no new creation in the earth corporately until Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. It was as momentous an act as the first creation. God and man as one. God with us reconciled. That's the extravagant act. He did it. The Creed says, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who is worshipped as God. The Holy Spirit came. So, for the church, I would say today, it is not about us getting our act together, but us getting His act together. What He did is for us, so that we can be together in one spirit, one body, one Lord, one baptism. That was the one I just spoke to you about. What's the one baptism? Jesus. His baptism for all of humanity. That's the one we all share. So the Holy Spirit could come and empower him. He had the Holy Spirit anyway, but what Jesus was wanting us to see was, this will be the path that you will tread. You will need the Holy Spirit empowering you to live that life that you all have. That was absolutely necessary. Just ponder that for a moment. This was the first new creation act corporately in the earth. We are in it. So humanity has become a new creation in Christ. So isn't that only for people in church? Well, I'll give you this. It's only people in church that know it. If you're out there and you don't know it, it's happened, but you don't know it. Jesus Christ did it as man and God for man and God. Nobody can argue with it. It's a fact. Has to be discovered. That's the gospel. Colossians 1:16, all things were created through him and for him, and he is prior to all things, and in him all things have their existence and are held together. Verse 22, he has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body, and now as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God. So, Pentecost, baptized with the Holy Spirit, the power of living the new creation life. Here's Jesus before he ascends, talking to the disciples. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. In other words, you'll be a testimony in the earth that I am. I'm going to need people with this kind of power to actually live it, so that the rest of the world will say, oh, that's what you've got. And you can start reconciling the world to me. Without the Holy Spirit, without knowing that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be wandering around trying to do it yourself. and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're part of the ends of the earth and down through time. The original apostles, the ones in Jerusalem, they found it hard to accept the fact that ends of the earth business. They thought it was just for Israel. It was later on, of course, that when Paul got the revelation and went out, that he could see that this was for everybody. Acts chapter 2, verse 16, Peter stands up, says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh." Peter got it. All were given God's new creation life within them. Everybody there on the day of Pentecost. But all did not know it. The Bible says that there are people in unbelief that walk in the futility of their minds, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. It's there, don't know. On Pentecost Day, not all of them were baptized with the Holy Spirit and power to be a living testimony that God lived within them. 120 were. And what an explosion that was. But see, they were told, be ready, wait, which is what you should do, be ready and wait, and know, hear the word of the Lord, have faith. And they then, I mean, what a day that would have been. And speaking in tongues and everybody hearing them in their own language. 3,000 people, after they heard then Peter, when he spoke the gospel and shared what Jesus had done, because there were only a bunch of them, 120, that were actually baptized with the Holy Spirit and power in that sense. The Holy Spirit had come upon all flesh. Peter saw that. But he knew that they had the anointing, so he spoke the word, and 3,000 people said, Amen. So they got it. And that made Pentecost even bigger. But there were 3,000. Then the church began to grow because that word of reconciliation, what God had done, the whole world. I want to say at this point, when God looks on the earth today, he doesn't see Adam. He doesn't see the body of death, Adam. He sees his son, Jesus Christ, in humanity. I mean, it's not that he's blind, he can see it, but what he's actually, who he's talking to is his son. He's talking to his new creation. Everybody's there. He's saying, hey, new creation, it's you I'm trying to connect with. Holy Spirit is saying, you're a new creation. See, I was a new creation before I knew I was a new creation. Then I discovered it, and that's what faith is, the discovery of what God has done. And then you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you can be part of that word of reconciliation, knowing that it's God doing that. You can relax and let God do it, but you need to know it. In Acts 19:2, I'll read 1 Timothy 4:10 just to bring that point home. Paul says to Timothy, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men. You like that? He's the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. Well, hang on. He's either the Saviour or he isn't. He's the Saviour of all men. But what good is it for people to be saved and not know or not believe? So he is the Saviour, especially to those who believe, because they can actually enjoy it and live it, have the joy of the Lord. And they can know that they're being empowered by God himself and they are of one being with God. That's what the especially is in God being the Saviour. we can say, thank you for that grace. So then we have the little story of Paul speaking to those that believed but didn't know about the Holy Spirit in Ephesus, chapter 19 of the book of Acts. By the way, the book of Acts should be called, instead of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it should be the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we have not even heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what baptism we are baptized? And they said, John. And he said, well, he did indeed baptize with a baptism of repentance, saying that they should believe on him who come after him. And you've done that in Christ. But then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there was again, there's that one baptism. So we too heard the truth. We're able to personalize what Jesus Christ has done and fall in love with it as the new creation. Well, so how does it happen? How do you get it? How do you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, you don't have to terribly formalize this too much. You just have to know it. You've got to ask and receive. And then God can even outsmart you on that. God can, by grace, just dump the baptism of the Holy Spirit on somebody just because he sees their heart. God sovereignly has poured out his Spirit time after time after time. So I don't want to formalize this and say, unless you have formally come forward and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are not living in your creation. I don't want to put that kind of a mocker on people. I just want to declare to you who you are. And then it's up to us now to do what it says in Ephesians chapter 5:18, and it says, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-off. Well, I remember being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that was good. No, it is all the time. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is what your mind is upon. That's what your heart is upon. And that connection by faith then becomes the power of God within you to live as a new creation. When that gospel is preached and accepted and yielded to, the Holy Spirit power is released to do his work. And he will work on each heart the way it needs to be worked on. He will work on selfish people to be not so selfish. He will work on people to accept the sufferings that they go through and be thankful in all things. He will bring that joy of the Spirit. He will say to us, be comfortable with not knowing everything that's going on around you. With not understanding. Be comfortable with that. You don't have to know everything. You think, if I knew it, I'd be in control of it. God knows it. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And he'll teach you what you need to know. And sometimes you think, I don't understand this. Let it go. And say, God, you show me what I need to know. That's the kind of yielding that the Holy Spirit empowers. Paul said, well, I'm weak, then I'm strong. So we have that. Let's rejoice in it. We thank you, Lord. And I say now, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us the Holy Spirit on that day. Fill us now, I pray. And let us keep on being filled with your Holy Spirit, mindful of it, that our lives will be aligned with you, reordered, and empowered by you to live as a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen.